All right, welcome into the 130th episode of the Dynasty Monarchy Podcast. We have a little bit more of an impromptu one. Mr. Max had to call out sick this week, but we are doing some trades that we've seen, as well as reports in breaking down the Rashee Rice case and what's going on with that. So appreciate you all for listening. Super Producer and I get into a little bit more theory later in the episode around trades and winning slash losing them. Wanted to thank you all for making it into the episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Monarchy, DynastyMonarchy. Let's go.
Why, hello there, my fellow kings and queens. Welcome to the Dynasty Monarchy podcast, where you will learn how to rule over your dynasty league for years to come. Now, allow me to introduce you to your hosts.
Whoever you may be, however you may be listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, welcome in. We had a little monkey wrench thrown into our plans this week. We were going to go over some rookie ratings, but Mr. Max is not available tonight. He is a little bit under the weather, so we're going to postpone that to some conversation next week. Episode 130, I am here in Dirty Jersey. Super Producer, you're up in the land. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Locked in. I got a little power nap before hopping on the Zoom here. I'm excited, man. I think, you know, it would be it's gonna be nice getting into the rookie rankings, like you said. We'll get that started next week and get some good episodes out there. But, you know, I do think this episode still will be good. We have kind of like a trade episode coming to you guys, so I think there's gonna be some good discourse. And honestly, like, there's some good trades to be made right now. I've been trying to be a little more active in some of my leagues and trying to get some deals done, because there are some values to take advantage of, I feel like.
Absolutely. There's one guy. I'll just give us just a little bit to start here. One guy that I'm absolutely loving right now that no one's talking about is DK Metcalf. And I feel like you can get him on a really cheap deal. Jackson Smith and Jigba, a little bit less on Lockett just because of his age. But I feel like those guys are so cheap, and you know they're going to draft a quarterback in this class. In the second, if they get Penix or if they get someone decent and move up, that is going to be a lot of hype around those receivers. There's money to be made by investing in those players right now. Mr. C, do you have anyone you like just off the rip right now for value?
I'm trying to think. Just on the DK one, I definitely like him as a buy for sure. I mean, I think is under contract for two more years there at Seattle, but it's definitely a good call that they'll probably go after quarterback hard there. Man, it's tough. I think honestly, like, quarterbacks, like, one guy who it's going to be a hard buy to get, but we've talked about him a few episodes ago, just kind of when we had a buy sell episode, but Anthony Richardson, honestly, if I can get any type, like, I paid a premium. And maybe that could be one that we talk about, the trade that me and Max did in a super flex league. I paid a premium to get him, which you're probably going to have to do because people are super high on this guy. And I know you're not the biggest fan of him, PJ, but just the rushing upside is undeniable, even though it's a very small sample size. But I think
it's not even undeniable. It's unimaginable, the upside. Yeah. It's insane, but just caution.
You know, it's tough because it could be one you get burned on, but I'm willing to buy in on the high end of things. And, you know, if he ends up burning, I get burned, but he's a guy that I would be actively trying to get in super flex leagues, even if you're going to have to pay the tax for it. Like if you have some extra depth pieces, you know, some rookie picks to kind of cash in there.
All right, Super Producer, before we get into the episode, there's four teams left in the final four. Who are you riding out with of these four teams left? And for all the listeners out there, it's Purdue, North Carolina State, UConn, Nate Oates in Alabama.
Hey, man, I'm going to stick with my prediction from last episode. I'm going to keep riding with NC State, man. I think the big boy DJ Burns, the hype is real, you know?
I'm very upset. I always put together a couple brackets, and my favorite bracket that I did was an NC State winning it all bracket, just because I knew they were hot. I wish I put some money on them before the tournament, because I think right now they're still at 16-1 to win it all, or like some insane amount in the final four. I'd love to see that cash out right now, even if I put a couple bucks down. But that's history. Let's move into the present and talk about a couple reports. All right, super producer. First and foremost, just wanted to get this one out of the way. Rashee Rice, we saw the incident that happened this week. Outside of this incident, there really wasn't much news. So after this, we'll move on. What is your thought process on potentially buying in on the dip of these legal problems that we saw from that crash?
Yeah, man, just unfortunate. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody saw on Twitter just kind of the updates from Rappaport and all these kind of insider guys on the situation. I feel like there's still a lot of stuff that's unclear, and, you know, news will keep coming out about it. And hopefully, you know, it's nothing too crazy, because, you know, I've been on the podcast, you know, hyping up Rashee Rice. I mean, I really do like him as a football player, and hopefully he can just stay out of like really big legal trouble here. I think it looks like nobody was injured at the scene, which is good, but I mean, him fleeing the scene is not great. I reached out in a couple leagues to try to buy him, but I don't think you're going to be able to buy him in Dynasty for the most part. I mean, there might be an owner that's super panicked about him, but like for me, if I had him on a team, I would not sell him for, you know, what I've seen trades go through on Twitter for maybe like a mid second and a third for him, stuff like that. I mean, those are probably the types of offers that you're going to be seeing if you have him on your roster. And I'm just not willing to trade for that. I mean, I would maybe send an early second to try and get him. But at the same time, too, I'm super hesitant, because, I mean, you send that second, it could go into the ether if some other craziness comes out about this story. Just unfortunate for sure. But, you know, I'm hoping everything goes good for him on the legal side of things. I mean, that's all you can really ask for. I don't really know. What are your thoughts on that whole thing, PJ?
Yeah, we hope he learns a lesson as well. You know, it's hard being young and having a lot of money right away. But outside of that, just looking at the fantasy lens of things, I love the dip. I know they're going to add another receiver, and that's the only thing that scares me, is if they go for a receiver in the first round or find a way to trade up into the second and get one of the hyped guys, then Rashee Rice's value will just continue to plummet. And you could get him for that mid-second, I think. That's what's scary. So I'd probably issue caution for throwing the house at someone right now to try to go get him. But I think there will be a window when the Chiefs draft a wide receiver to go buy him for less than he should be going for.
No, I agree with that. I think that's definitely a good take. For me, it's just, I just need to see it, what it's all settled out like with this situation, regardless of them bringing in another receiver or whatever the case is, just like the legal side of things and what a possible suspension looks like. That's the stuff that I'm really concerned about. But I don't know, we've seen in the past with the NFL, I mean, they're really not, I don't know how to put it nicely, but they don't necessarily care to give out massive like suspensions unless it's something super crazy. So likely, I mean, you brought it up, maybe like a 4-game suspension, something like that seems like the most likely path, but we will see.
All right, let's get into trade section. All right, super producer, let's hammer this really quick. Dynasty IM, a league mate of ours, great presence over on the Twitter machine, X, whatever you want to call it. He had one 12-team superflex PPR 6-point passing touchdown. Caleb Williams, so effectively the 101 in superflex drafts, or Anthony Richardson. This is a very interesting one. I lean the Williams side, but I know you'll like the Richardson side.
Yeah, I mean, I still lean Caleb Williams' side here as well.
You do?
I do, for sure. I do like Anthony Richardson, but I think you have to, I don't know, you just got to take it for what it is. I mean, he still only has a small sample size. I mean, him and Caleb are, you know, you would put them probably similar, but you got to take Caleb, even though there's kind of uncertainty. You'd assume he's just going to Chicago. So he has a better landing spot, you know, better offensive weapons around him. Seems like the organizational structure might be a little bit better there. Plus, you know, there's no, as of right now, lower risk of injury, all this stuff. I mean, I don't know. Caleb just seems like the way safer play, which it is surprising. I mean, the trade poll was 70-30. So that does show you 70% to Caleb Williams' side and 30 to Richardson. I mean, it does show you that there is that hype out there for Richardson, that there's 30% of people that would take him, you know, at the 101 pick here.
Yeah, I think when I look at Caleb Williams, it's going to be very fascinating, especially in 6-point passing touchdown. I think in 6-point, you have to lean Williams like even harder. Richardson is electric, and there's no different way that we can talk about him besides that. When he plays, he is phenomenal, and I bet another year in learning Shane Steichen's offense, I see a really big year for him to pop. I think he can be absolutely phenomenal this year. He could outscore Caleb Williams over the next 3 seasons. But the problem is the health, and that's what's really, truly scary for me. The best ability is availability, and that's why I'll probably take Caleb Williams on the Bears versus Richardson.
I guess the question here is like, what would be that value difference? Like, if you're sitting there at the 101, what would it take for the Richardson side to add on for you to move that 101 pick, basically?
That's very interesting. To move the 101, I think I would need Richardson and probably a second, like an early second. I think Richardson in any draft, especially this one, would probably be the 102. I think he would go over Jaden Daniels. He would go over Drake May, any other quarterback. He might be equivalent to Marvin Harrison Jr. So I really don't think it would be much extra on top that would be needed.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think I do agree with you that he would be the 102. I think, I don't know, as much as I love Richardson as well, I feel like I'd need to have like a late or mid first even to get Caleb. Really? In a 6-point passing touchdown league. Yeah, I think so.
I think truly it's early second, early like 201, yeah. 202, where you, especially in super flex drafts, where a lot of those good skill position players are tracking back that way. I'd love it there. All right, let's keep moving forward. At Fantasy BYB, didn't give a team number, but says Superflex, full PPR, Drake London, or Jerry Jeudy in the 110 and 112.
Probably just taking Drake London and running here. I don't think it's that crazy of value to give up to get Drake London, you know, sending those two late first-round picks. Jeudy, I'm still not bought into. You know, even with the extension there, I could see a world where this trade makes sense if you're, you know, a super rebuilder and just want to kind of stack up more first round picks there. But even though the 110, like the late quarter of the first round there, kind of getting a little bit better as the days go on, I'm still not bought into it to, you know, give up that type of value you have in Drake London, where, I mean, he'll probably have his best season. So I'll lean the London side pretty heavily here.
There's a pretty good chance that he does have his best season. I'm with you there. I think Kirk Cousins is a huge, massive, like cataclysmic level upgrade for Drake London. But this is super flex, and I get the chance to poke at a quarterback at 110 that I love in either Penix or Nix. I think those guys will be there in super flex drafts. I get Jerry Jeudy. And at the 112, I get name your receiver that kind of slips a little bit. I think the value is just too much, where you're able to, for Drake London, get effectively three dart throws. And especially when one of those dart throws is a quarterback, where if he has a good year, you're 3x-ing the value on that pick. I can't turn down that amount of value. I would take the Jeudy, the 110 and the 112 side.
Yeah, no, I see it from your perspective too. But like for me, if it was So let's say instead of 110, it was like 107 or 108. Then I think I would lean probably the pick side because it seems like, you know, there's still that tier break around the 107, 108 pick for Superflex, kind of get the end of that tier there. But that speaks to you liking, you know, Penix and Bo Nix kind of at the end of the first there, early second, where you can kind of just snag one of those guys. Or even, you know, when let's say team trades up and for Penix, or, you know, Penix goes to the Vikings, or then Bo Nix goes to Denver, or whatever a team that really likes him, you know, those guys probably will shoot up, and then maybe you'll be able to get that value on the back end side of things with the skill position players, you know, first running back available kind of thing like that. So I do see that side of things. I think I would just need a little more value for me to move London there.
I can see where you're coming from. Would you rather Judy in, like, let's say the 105 or London in Superflex?
It's definitely a conversation. Judy is almost like worthless to me. If I could just get any other second round pick instead of Judy in the 105, that one is pretty close, man. I can't lie. Like, I would probably go with the 105 side on that. Okay, let's just say it is Judy in the 105. It makes it tough, but right now, I mean, I think maybe you do play the 105 side of things, and because then you could still get, I mean, you get one of the top end quarterbacks or Odunze even, or Bowers. I mean, there's just, it's so loaded at the first five, six picks in Superflex where I would feel comfortable just taking the pick, I feel like.
All right, let's keep pushing forward from at BLEEEDD Bled over on the Twitter bot. Nico Collins or JSN and 212. I love the JSN side. I know you're gonna, you love all those Texans receivers, super producer. I just can't.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I would go with the Nico side here. And I, you know, it is interesting to see how the narrative kind of shifts in the off season. I think that's one of the probably my most favorite thing about Dynasty Fantasy Football. It's like you talk about JSN to anybody towards the end of this past season, right? Of when people are like the players are on the field, the games are being played. Nobody wanted JSN. Like, there's people that want to just buy the dip because it's dynasty, all this stuff. I mean, he had a couple good plays. There's nothing about his situation that has changed, right? I mean, they restructured Lockett's contract. That was the big one that was like everyone was hoping Lockett would be gone. Lockett's still there. DK's still there. The offense will be probably similar to what it looked like this past season. So it's like the path for JSN, I don't necessarily see it. You know, and it seems like people are bought into the hype of JSN yet again, you know, this offseason. That kind of seems to be a thing that stood out to me on Twitter. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, I think for me too, it's because I like Nico Collins so much as well. Like, I have him as probably a top 15 dynasty wide receiver. So I'm just taking that value there. What makes you kind of like JSN going into this next season? I know, you know, it's dynasty, so it's a multi-year thing, and there is stuff to like with JSN, but I guess just specifically this next season for you.
Yeah, I think when I look at JSN, something that is always going to be imprinted on my mind is that Rose Bowl game. You know, all these wide receivers from Ohio State talking about how he was the most talented one on those teams. They said he was even more talented than Marvin Harrison Jr. All these different guys saying that. I think eventually, you know, eventually never comes, but I think eventually Tyler Lockett will crumble out. He can't keep being this productive at the continued ages that he gets every year. Maybe his virgin powers are real and I'm just shit out of luck. But I think JSN this upcoming season, after completing his rookie year, being able to find his feet, getting a full NFL offseason with the potential of any quarterback, Michael Penix probably the most likely being there with Geno Smith. I think he has a good year. I'm not saying he has top 12 upside. I'm not saying he has top 16 upside even, but I think he's going to finish a comfortable 10, 19, 28 to 19, like that 10 slot range where I could see him really start to take that next step this year. And I just don't know if Houston's going to hit that regression bug. They're going to have a first place schedule now in that division. And CJ Stroud, the tape's out there. I'm very, very, very concerned about the Texans.
Yeah, I can see it. I still like Nico a ton. And so I guess it comes down to, like, I think the value for me, and I still like JSN, right? This is more of like a team mm-hmm. context trade, I feel like, more than anything, right? Because, like, if you need the production, you're a contender. You obviously are going to go with Nico there because he has probably top 10 upside at the position. But then to go for the JSN side, like, I think I would need, and I actually reached out, you know, a few weeks ago, I think, for a similar trade like this. I was trying to move Nico Collins, and it was for JSN in 201 or 202 in a one quarterback league. So it is probably, you know, if let's say this is super flex, there really isn't league settings here. So maybe like 205 in super flex and JSN, and it could be close for me. Definitely that 201 or 202, I think in one quarterback, it's pretty similar. But I think that would probably be the value that I would need to get back for me to do the trade. I still probably wouldn't feel super good about it, though.
What is the comfortable price for him flat, just straight, in JSN? This draft? In this draft. It's the most important question, because I don't think he's worth a first-round pick in this draft, given where he went last year. I would grade him above a lot of the receivers, but I don't think he would be, quote unquote, worth a first round pick in this class.
Yeah. I mean, I think the argument could be made for a late first, but I mean, the production last year, I mean, I guess you knew that going in that it wasn't going to be great, but I just think he's in for another. I mean, you, like you were saying, wide receiver kind of 26 ish is probably the likely outcome. Like, I don't really see the need to buy in right now to him. I feel like you could just buy him mid-season when he's not really putting up too many numbers and kind of get a better value. I don't know. Right now, with how the hype is, though, I think it would have to be a late first, early second. I mean, I'd probably put him, like, let's say he has this year of production and is in the rookie draft again this year, magically. I mean, I'm probably putting him right above, like right in that Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy kind of spot. I mean, I'd have him probably over McConkey and Roman Wilson. So that's kind of my thoughts there. So would you have him kind of in that range as well, or would you have him above some of the guys like Adonai and maybe like Brian Thomas Jr. and guys like that?
Yeah, I definitely have him above some of the receivers. It's just going to depend on landing spot, which sucks. If a guy gets a, you know, plug and play wide receiver two role in offense, or even a wide receiver one role, and he's a little bit lesser known, those guys are going to jump. But let's say everyone's equal and all landing spots are going to be the exact same as JSN, I'd take him over Brian. I'd take him over Adonai. I think he's really that fluent, and that's what always gets me. It's like the Garrett Wilson argument. Garrett Wilson is so good because he's the number one on the offense. But if he was on Seattle and he was the number three there, he would not be as productive. So I think it's all about getting the opportunity for JSN to shine. All right, let's move on to the last one. Super producer put in here a Drake London and Puka Nacua one. We already touched Drake London today. Pause. I wanted to talk about the one that you did with Max in Superflex, because okay, I know we talked about Richardson, but this is very, very pertinent and very personal to the league. And I know you wanted to talk about it, so I'm going to give you the floor.
Okay, sounds good. I did post it on Twitter as well. So I'll just lay it out here. It's going to be 12-team super flex, full PPR. The one side gets Anthony Richardson, Jerry Jeudy, Quentin Johnston, and the 301 pick. And then the other side gets Tua Tagovailoa, Brandon Ayuk, Cooper Kupp, and Isaiah Likely. I got Richardson in this trade. I'm sure I know what side you lean here, PJ, but I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on it.
You gave up a lot of value. And I'm someone that absolutely does not like Tua. And I even when I saw the post, I immediately voted for the Tua side. I just feel like it was so much value. With so much value on one side and not the other. But at the end of the day, if my assumptions about Tua are correct and he's really not that good, the Dolphins really don't give him the bag, or if they do and everything falls apart, and you have the better quarterback at the end, the position players in Superflex are replaceable. The quarterback is not, especially quarterback one. And if you're trying to build and that's a quarterback two, that's a very, very, very scary team.
Just for context as well, so this the trade got 23 votes and it was 74% for the Tua side, which I agree with, honestly. And like, it is weird for me to be like, oh, I would definitely take the side that I gave up. But I think I would, I mean, I would probably 8 out of 10 times, I think, take the Tua side, because Tua is a guy that I like a lot. Ayuk is another guy that I love a lot. So I think the value for sure is there. I paid the premium for Richardson. But so there's another thing too to add into this, right? So in the rookie draft, I own the 104 pick. Max has the 103 pick right now. And he has Lamar Jackson and now has Tua as his quarterbacks. He doesn't like Tua a ton. So I think by me doing this, I almost force his hand. You know, I give him some more wide receiver depth like Ayuk and Kupp. And I might sway him, which is a reason why I did this deal as well and felt comfortable doing it, is maybe I could force his hand at the 103 pick to pick another quarterback, like maybe Jaden Daniels, Drake May. And I'm fine saying it on the podcast. I wasn't really going to tell him out loud what I was thinking with that. But I really want Malik Nabers, truly. Even at the 103 pick, that would have been my pick there. So if I can get him to pick Jaden Daniels or, you know, one of these other guys like May, then I'm just going to hammer Malik Nabers right at the 104 pick. And then that kind of bolsters my wide receiver room further, even though I gave up Ayuk. And then I can still, you know, then I have Richardson, and then Mahomes is my QB1 there. So then I feel like I just upgraded that quarterback and might still be able to draft the guy that I kind of really wanted to. So that is my main thought process there. Sorry, it's a little bit long-winded, but
it's important because a lot of people just want to look at the basis of a trade. There's a very fun quote from one of the Dune movies. It says, "When is a gift not a gift?" Right. And it might seem like you're giving a lot of value up, but after your explanation, it makes complete sense. And how it's more of like the behind the scenes motions. And that's something that's really important for the listeners out there to pay attention to, is it might not be the most important thing right at the beginning to win the deal. But when the cogs start to move and the dominoes start to fall, you might be the one that ends up on top after all.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because I have a feeling Max will end up trading the 103 pick anyway. And I think there's a lot of people that still will end up taking quarterback at 103 regardless. But I think it's a definitely an interesting trade, a quote unquote big boy trade, if you will.
Absolutely. I love Nabers. I like him more than Marv. I said on the podcast last week, if you get him, I would be a very, very, very happy camper man.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I don't know if you saw it, PJ, but Steve Smith Sr. actually came out and said he had Nabers as wide receiver one as well. So maybe that'll make you feel a little more vindicated in your take there as well.
Yeah. That guy's a dog. That guy is an absolute unit. I can't wait to get him out there. I want to trade for the 102 just so I could have him. I really do. So we'll end up seeing what happens with that. All right, that's going to wrap us up here. Wanted to thank you all for making it a little bit more of an impromptu episode today. But next week, we'll be back with those rookie rankings. We're moving closer and closer and closer to the draft. It's getting scary. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. See you all next week.
Thank you for listening to the Dynasty Monarchy Podcast. Fancy some fantasy advice? Tweet or DM at Dynasty Monarchy on Twitter. Until next time, farewell, my fellow kings and queens.